wait maybe till after Yom Kippur, because I'd like to do the sugya of Lush before Pesach as well. So I committed to starting Lush on Wednesday one way or another. So whatever we get done in terms of Chador will be today and tomorrow. The rest will be pushed off till afterwards. So probably will be just Borer today and tomorrow, but we'll see if we are able to move a little bit faster. But Borer, as you may recall, was a long and complicated sugya. We'll try to make it certainly shorter, hopefully a little bit simpler. Part of what's complicated is it's a lot of details and a lot of subjectivity. That's certainly what makes it complicated in halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, because it's very commonly occurring circumstances, very subjectively addressed. So that's a part of what makes it a challenge as a malacha. But as a sugya, it's also a challenge because of that. But also, you know, we discussed it the first time around, and we spent several days on it. So we mentioned not only the different views, but also some of the attempts to try to put everything together in one consistent framework. So that can get a little challenging because of all the different details. So here we're focusing less on that. When we chazer, we'll try to at least get the elements down. And we'll allude more briefly to some of the different ways in which they could possibly be understood, but don't let that get you weighed down too much. So the sugya of Borer appears primarily in our Gemara here in Ayin Daled and Aleph. You should definitely chazer that sugya on your own in terms of reading the Gemara. There's a whole back and forth about it. And as we alluded to also when we talked about Zorah, so there is a fundamental question which will affect a lot about this whole sugya in terms of how does the malacha of Borer and how does the malacha of Zorah make the list? That was the question that the Baal HaMor asked, and the Baal HaMor's answer was different than the Ramban's. Right? The Ramban's is that the basis of the question is that it would seem that these malachas, the malacha shein esricha legufa, that if we assume that the gedder of a malacha is it has to be a positive tikkun, so here getting rid of psoles, that seems like it's a negative action, and if it's a negative action, it should be by its very nature malacha shein esricha legufa. So Baal HaMor's answer, and the Baal HaMor, it's also important to remember, he's really the Baal HaShita about this definition of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. That all of the later Rishonim, or a lot of the later Rishonim, which a number of them, who maintain this view that that's the definition of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, against Tosfos, a lot of them are quoting this Baal HaMor, this individual in this comment. It's all that passage when he goes into the whole gather of what it is. So the Baal HaMor there asserts that it's essentially a quirk, that Zorer and Borer really in their nature are malachos she'enam tzricha legufa, and they're only on the list because of protexia. They're only on the list because they happen to have been in the right place at the right time, because they were in the Mishkan, so therefore they make the list, but looked at by themselves, they don't deserve it, they don't make the cut, they're not considered to be tzricha legufa. And the Ramban had a different understanding. The Ramban understands it basically in terms of expanding the playing field, that we don't just look at the psoles that's being chased away, but we look at the ochel and psoles together that is being worked on as one big playing field. So therefore, essentially, through the taking away the psoles, you are metaking the ochel, and therefore that's considered to be a malacha hatzricha legufa. And there was a similar but slightly different approach to the issue with Yaakov, and it's one that brings up questions that will come to later, but the issue with Yaakov, quoted by the Bir Halacha, raises this question also, and essentially says that it is a tikkun of the ochel, and therefore it's to be viewed as a positive malacha rather than a chasing away of something. And the way he formulates it provokes some questions which we'll come back to. But this essentially opens up one of the basic questions in Borer. What is the malacha of Borer? Is it an act of separating two things? Is that somehow what the nature of the malacha is? Or is it a malacha of enhancing an item, of a tikkun? Let's say for the moment, we'll have to modify this, but let's say for the moment, making food edible by getting rid of its garbage. Is that the proper gather? So this seems to be one of the primary questions that's dealt with when we talk about Borer. Gil?
When we were originally doing Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, the Rashi Shita was that like you're misalik something that you don't want.
Right.
So how is that different than the Ramban here? I mean, why wouldn't all Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa will be Lacha Shetir Kalalupa.
Because here it's not considered. Here his basic theory is that we look at the whole item together, and this is considered to be a process of enhancement of the food. So the same way, for example, what he mentions there, fingernail cutting or shaving, which could also have been perceived, and indeed some Rishonim do see that as also Malacha Shetir Kalalupa, because you're getting rid of the fingernails that you don't want, you're getting rid of the hair that you don't want. So he sees that all as one process, that through the taking away the fingernails, you are enhancing the fingers. Through the shaving, sometimes a seal of something that's just in your way. And you know, you have a dead body in your house and you want to get it out of your house. So that's not about perfecting your house. It's not a matter of basic grooming where the house is the playing field here. It's that you have a dead body that you need to have out of your presence. So that there are certain actions which are clearly negative in nature, while shaving and fingernail cutting and perhaps here also protecting food, those are actions which are item focused and are acts of perfection, even though they have two elements involved.
So all those things, they are naturally occurring, like as opposed to the body being a separate.
Right, but we don't know if that necessarily has to be part of the definition. We talked about Malacha Shetir Lufa, that svara was invoked, that there were those who argued kind of in the other direction, that you could say that every Malacha should be a Malacha Shetir Lufa, because it's all about getting rid of problems, that's what Tikkun means. So there were those who argued kind of the opposite, that if something is naturally occurring, so then you don't say getting rid of it as Tzulik, that's part of the process of perfection. Hi.
Are we saying the Yeshua Yaakov is bringing something different than the Ramban?
Yeah, he's saying it a little bit differently, because he's saying that it's not a question of seeing this as a process with two elements to it, but that we're still focused on the food. But the food is made edible, is made perfected by having the Psola Kishimulay. So therefore, it's an act of enhancement, it's an act of perfection. And as we'll see, that Bir Halacha challenges him on this, that it makes a problem when removing something doesn't actually perfect the remaining food. For example, we have subjective psolas as well. We'll get into that. Avram, you had a question about that? Yeah, so we'll get back to Bir Halacha, because we have to mention some other points first. Okay, and then when we talked about Zorah last week, so we mentioned the different approaches in Rishonim as to how to define the three malachas as distinct from each other. And we mentioned that basically the Gemara has a question which it gives half an answer to, and the Rishonim give the other half. Because the question is, what's the difference between Borer, Zoreh, and Merakeh? And the Gemara's answer is, first off, that it's minimal. And really, they could have been the same, but because they're all in the Mishkan, they get their own slot on the list. And apparently there's more to say about that, but that's still not enough. We still have to say what the minimal difference is. That's not enough to say that it's a minimal difference. It's still something. So that's where the Rishonim fill in what the minimal difference is. And you have, let's say, at least three different approaches, not necessarily exclusive of each other. It could be the same Rishonim holds from two or three of these approaches. But we saw one approach being what you are using. Is it done biyad, or bakli, or beruach? The question of what you are acting upon. Are you acting upon tzraros? Are you acting upon grain? Are you acting upon flour? And again, those may easily be related ideas, that it may be that different materials need different tools, and that the style of dealing with different materials is different tools. And we talked about that a little bit already. And another approach that Tosfos Yontif and others mentioned, that they're worthy of different slots because they're not alternatives to each other. It's not that if you want to separate something, so you'll either do A or B or C, whichever one you're in the mood for, but they're all steps in the same process. So if somebody's making bread, let's say, if you want to take the Sidur Depas definition, so one will do all three of these malachos, so therefore they earn all three slots. They are each involved, each one gets its own place in the story. Okay. So the Yerushalmi, as we mentioned, also has a chiddush that borer doesn't apply unless you completely clean it away from everything. But if you take out all the psolas, so then you are in violation of borer. But if you leave some psolas there, so then that is not called borer. So it seems like that is argued on by the Babli. It's not 100% clear that's the case. There is a Shita Laharan that we mentioned, which is on Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, that interprets Gemara and the Bavli as also working off of that Yisod. But for the most part, Rishonim that we rely on do not record this rule that you have to be perfectly, you have to be perfectly getting rid of all the problems. And as Rabbi Akiva Eger mentions in that tshuva we talked about in the context of Zohra, this is the flip side of that machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. That the Yerushalmi has two dinim. One, it has the din that somebody who spits in the wind is in violation of Zohra, we spoke about last week. Also has the din that Borer has to be perfect. And as Egle Tal and Rabbi Akiva Eger and others explain, this is all tied in. This is all the same question. That the Bavli sees Borer and Zohra as related. It's all about separating things. And Yerushalmi disagrees. And that's why the Yerushalmi is Mechayev by spinning in the wind. But also, it has this standard for Borer that is unrealistic when it comes to Zohra. Zohra is not going to do a perfect job of separating everything. So these Achronim understand that these questions are all tied up with each other. And they reflect the fundamental core difference between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. The Bavli assuming Borer and Zohra are essentially linked, and the Yerushalmi seeing space between them, reflecting itself in those two different dinim. So, if we want to assume that's the case, so then it comes out that the Bavli probably does not acknowledge this difference, and the poskim who poskim that we tend to rely on, who follow the Bavli, presumably do not record this difference either. We also discussed, and we'll have to get into more detail about this, that the definition of Borer is going to require some type of taruvus, and we see this invoked in a couple of contexts. For example, one of the other issues we'll have to get to a little bit later, let's say a person has a fly in his drink. So the Taz says, if you want to get rid of the fly, so you have to take out some drink with it. You have to spill it out in such a way that you're not just taking out solas. While others, such as the Maharitz Sahalon, it's quoted by the Berheitev, felt that this was not an issue of Borer because it's not the Tarovis. Right? You have here a fly on top of the drink. They're not really mixed. They're just in the same space. It's not called the Tarovis. And this, the fly is identifiable as a separate entity, and therefore removing it is not called Borer. So that's an issue which has a lot of nuances, and we'll get to in a little bit more detail specifically to talk about the Halacha Lamaisa ramifications. But that's also just reflective of a basic principle here that you have to have a mixture in order to even start talking about tarovas. Gil, you had a question?
Yeah, in the sheets of Maharit Solon, doesn't he say like there's no Borer in Mashkin or something like that?
That's also a part. Maharit Solon is a long shoot about
that. Does
that
mean that it's because they're separate, so even with something that's not a Mashkin, if it's also obviously separate, easy to separate, it would also apply, or just he's talking specifically just an objective.
It seems like that gets more into the details of the differences between Borer and Meraki. You kind of technically fall through the cracks between the two, but we'll give that a little bit more attention a little bit later. So there's also a discussion that we had about the shear of Borer. So the shear of Borer is assumed to be a grovers. It sounds like that from the Tosefta, and that again has been our general approach anyway towards everything in the Sidur of the Pass, with the exception of the whole story with the first two Malachas. But Sidur of the Pass in general is assumed to be a grovers by everything. So we should assume that's the shear here as well. So the question can be raised, if we have essentially three possibilities here, what does the shear apply to? Does the shear apply to the Ofo, or the Psoles, or both together? So there are a number of interesting views about this that are all worthy of discussion. The Perish HaKadmon Mitzrayim, as you can see at least in the Shabsi Frankel edition of the Rambam, so he has a suffix about this. He opens up this debate, whether the shear should be in the Ofo or in the Psoles. In the Yerushalmi, it sounds like it's both together, because the Yerushalmi that we just mentioned, that you have to do a perfect job of getting rid of all the Psoles. So there the Yerushalmi says that two opposite scenarios. A person can sit all day and select things and not violate Borer, because he's dealing with a huge pile, he can't get all the Psoles out, while he could very quickly violate Borer if he would take a groveris in his hand and take out all the Tsararos. So then he would violate Borer. So it sounds like from that Yerushalmi that the Shir is talking about the whole mixture together. So basically it's a suffix in the Kagmon Mimitraim. The Yerushalmi sounds like it's a Shir together. And the Menachas Chinuch has a fascinating point, because the Menachas Chinuch says that it makes sense that it's probably the good stuff that has to be a Grover's. Why? Because Grover's is a shira of Achila, and so therefore it's likely that it has to be the Ochel that has the Grover's. So as we mentioned at the time, it's really kind of a fascinating usage of the terms, because it sounds like it's mixing different meanings of the same word. When we talk about Ochel for the purposes of the Grover's, so we're talking about actual food matter, while Ochel, the definition of Borer, we're not sure that it means specifically food. As we'll see in a second, we're up to this now, that essentially it could be there's a subjective definition of Ochel. So it's very interesting that the Menachas Chinuch says, oh look, since Ochel is what's left, therefore Ochel is a sheer Grover's, the Grover's has to be what remains. So this brings up this issue that Tosfos has a chiddush that a lot of later Rishonim accepted, but maybe not all of them, that when we talk about Ochel and Psoles, in order to have an Isser of Borer, right, so we need Tarobes and we need Ochel that we want to keep and Psoles that we want to get rid of. So you could have thought that these are objective terms. You have food that is mixed with some type of waste matter that needs to be gotten rid of. But Tosfos has this big chiddush here that this is not only the case. Tosfos Dibur Maschul Hayulafanav quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, the Ba'ochel mitoch ochel shaycha breira. You could also have borer if you have two foods. But it happens to be there's one that you want and one that you don't want. So then that is subjective ochel and soles, and there's an iser borer there as well. So that's a very consequential shita, certainly because of its impact on halacha l'maisa, but also because it does make it harder to say that it's about fixing food. That if food is in with garbage, so then it's essentially inedible if you don't want to swallow the garbage also. So you have to get rid of the garbage in order to make it edible. So if that's what's going on, that's a conceivable definition. But if it's mixed with other food, that's easily edible. And for whatever reason, you want to separate the two. So then it's harder to say that taking out the subjective psoles is making the food right. The food is worthy as it is. The food is edible as it is. So you'll have to define Borer a little bit differently. So this is the issue that the Be'er Halacha has against the Yeshuas Yaakov. That if the Yeshuas Yaakov says it's considered to be Amlacha, it's Tzricha L'Gufo, because you're fixing the food. So that is all well and good if the food was inedible beforehand. But if the food is just mixed in with another food, so then to separate the food that you happen not to want right now, it's hard to call that a tikkun of the ochel. So that's a difficulty, and that's something that the Bir Halacha picks up. So this whole question of whether borer is a tikkun or simply an act of separation, so that seems to be provoked by this Tosfos. Does Rashi agree? There's a lot of debate about Rashi. There's a whole question how to read the Rashi. We won't go into the details in the course of time. But it has to do a little bit with the Girsa question, that when the Gemara begins, the first line of the Borer, so Yatana Rabbanan Hayulafanav Mine Ochlin. So Tosfos has the Girsa Shnei Mine Ochlin. Sounds like there's two different types of food, not just food and psolas, but food that are in two different types, one you like and one you don't like. And Rashi may not have that Girsa. Rashi might just have Mine Ochlin. So whether that's to exclude Tosfos' Chiddush or not, so that was a debate. That's the whole question, how to read it. And it could be that Pnei Yeshua talks about this, others talk about this. It could be that Rashi doesn't accept this. The Prima Gadim, commenting on Tosfos' Chiddush, the Prima Gadim, the Sefer on Gemara, is called Rosh Yosef. So this is the same Mechaber, the Rosh Yosef and the Prima Gadim. So sometimes you hear about this as the Shita of the Prima Gadim, but it's also in the Sefer Rosh Yosef. It's the same Mechaber, the same Shita. The Prima Gadim maintains that Tosfos' idea that separating two different ochlin from each other is also borer. He says that's only going to be true if you want to eat one now. But if you want to put them away for later, you're basically just categorizing them. It's known as far as miyun. So then he maintains that that is not going to be an issur borer. But particularly when you have something that's not being fixed because there's no objective psoles. You just have two different types, and it's only ochel and psoles because of your desire to have one now and not have the other. So he maintains that only applies if you actually want to have one now. But if you want to use both of them later, so then that's not called Borer in his assessment. And the Bir Halacha, who quotes this view, does not seem to endorse it. Later poskim do invoke it as a sniff. Often it is something that is addressed and something that is given credibility as a part of the discussion. And it's essentially a machlokus, the Prima Gadim and the Bir Halacha. Hi.
When the Prima Gadim says to use it later, he's talking about later than one would have been able to use it on Shabbos. Like if someone picks on a Friday night and they want to use it for Shabbos Shishi, use it as the normal laws of Borer, you can't because it's too far away. But right. Is it still within Shabbos, or is it saying wants to use it next week? That's the meaning.
Yeah, it's not clear. He doesn't seem to be about being this Shabbos or later in the week specifically. It seems to be about the fact that it's the combination of these two ideas, that your subjective granting of Ochel and Sola status is only relevant if you're going to be using it right now. If you're going to not be using it right now, presumably whether it's later in Shabbos or later in your lifetime, then this status that gives it subjective Borer doesn't kick in. Just doesn't qualify as either a tikkun or as, you know, a tikkun in the sense of making the food edible or in the sense of helping you right now. So therefore, it's neither definition of borer.
Or someone else is using it, like it's usable, just not creative.
If it was usable, it's a question of usable versus not usable, so then that gets more to the objective borer. So we're focusing really on the subjective borer, where it's only considered soulless because you want it less than the other thing. Want it not in the proportion to how much you want the other thing. So yeah, that's only relevant according to him if you want it now. And again, the Bir Halacha doesn't think this is sustainable. He has a raya from the Rambam. Others point out that the Prima Gadim himself points out that he's not talking within the Rambam, he's talking within Tosfos. So that's an important issue that comes up with Halacha as well. Just in terms of the whole lumdus here, of whether it's a tikkun or a separation. So some svarim point out that even by saying it's a tikkun, there are two different ways to call it a tikkun. You could say something is a tikkun because it makes inedible food edible. That's what we've been working off of till now. Or you could say that purifying something, so to speak, is a tikkun. You could say that keeping it away from being mixed in with some other substance, even if that other substance is not poisonous, even if it's not something that's objectively bad, but having things be only that thing and not mixed with something else, and maybe that's some of the views that we're seeing here, and maybe working off the view that that's also called a tikkun, which would defend the Yeshuas Yaakov against the Bir Halacha's problems. So this also raises the issue then, so could we say, should we say, that once we have a subjective definition, so then maybe we don't even have to have 2 minim. Right? Maybe if we have 1 min, and let's say it has bigger items and smaller items, so then maybe if we want only one over the other, so maybe that also should be called borer. So that was a machlokus, and most are makel on this, because the Truma Sadashin has a tshuva where he assumes that it does not apply with 1 min, and the Rama quotes the view of the Truma Sadashin. So that seems to be the majority view, but the Taz disagrees. The Taz is the machmer on this, the Taz is the machmer on a lot of things in Hilchos Borer. So he's a machmer on this, and he assumes that there could be Borer even with 1 min, based on this Tosfos. Because Tosfos says that it could be subjective, so therefore if we're imposing subjective definitions, so then we can do that within 1 min as well. And we could say that if you like the small items and not the big items, so then getting rid of the bad items, the big items, is also called getting rid of solas. And the Sefer Tosefta Shabbos points out that he thinks that's hard to prove this from Tosas, because Tosas, by definition, is working off the Gersa Hayulafana of Shnei Minei Ochlin. So the whole premise of Tosas is that you're dealing with two different types. So to say that Tosfos' subjective chiddush also applies to two different types, to one type as opposed to the two different types, he thinks that's a bad proof. The Tshuva Zimri Eish, he defends this Taz. He points out that Tosfos is really referring back to Yerushalmi. He seems to say like the Taz. So that's a whole debate. But in any event, the way it's brought in the Ramah is that we would require it to be two minim in order to be subject to a prohibition of borer. So what exactly does it mean to be a different min? That's a good question. That also gets into a lot of subjective territory. Again, so many of the issues in Borer challenge us because of their subjectivity. And the Shvisas HaShabbos, he gives us the definition that if things have a different flavor or a different shame, which again becomes subjective because maybe different cultures will call different things different names. A famous Eskimo snow issue, it's all a question of your perception, how much you give something a different name. But that's itself a point, right? The fact that you bother to give something a different name is what indicates that there is a difference between the two. But still somewhat subjective, and different cultures and different individuals will be more makbid to use different names for similar things and others won't. So again, that's a subjective definition, but it's relevant because it does show something, the usage of a different name. But that's what the Shvitas HaShabbos writes, that if things have different names or different tastes, so if you have a chicken that's prepared two different ways, so that could qualify as different flavors, that's a chiluk for the purpose of being two different minim. Hi.
He's saying that you both, then your idea, like it's a machloket, but people come out one side or the other.
Yeah, no, I don't think you need both, you need one or the other. Those are two different ways to distinguish.
No, meaning there's no kula. Like if one is a shame, but it's not a tam, then vice versa.
Yeah, that will self make it 2 minutes, presumably.
Why does he assume both? Why doesn't he like mukher between one or the other based on?
Because they're two different ways of distinguishing. So either one could give something a different status from the other.
But it's the same in Yerida, and they come out one about third of the time or about third one.
Because you have to define it one way or another. But here, just in terms of distinguishing between items and saying that one is going to be considered relatively less interesting than the other. So it could be because they are defined differently, they're named differently, or it could be because they taste it. Okay, so that's itself an issue. One of the major issues that vexed us a lot, also in terms of halacha maisa as much as anything else, is the question of whether borer applies to kalim. This is a big controversial issue which affects a lot of how hilchos borer is going to be manifested in the real world. In the Gemara, we don't really find it explicitly by kalim. We maybe find it by things that are not purely ochlin, in terms of pebbles and the like, and some of what's described in the Gemara in Ayin Daled Amud Beis. But for the most part, it seems like we're really talking about ochlin, really talking about achila. And much of what we say in Hilchos Borer works off that assumption. The shear of a grobris, the idea of tikkun ochlin, the idea of derech achila that we'll talk about, much of it makes more sense if we assume we're talking about ochlin. The big issue is the Taz. The Taz seems to say that it is extended not only to ochlin, but also to kalim and begotten, which opens up a massive, massive chumrah. A lot of the discussions that we find in contemporary literature about silverware and clothing and the like, about whether or not there is a issue of borer, which it often is assumed that there is, and how to deal with the issues of borer in terms of those types of materials. So it's worth noting that this is a significant machlokas, that the Taz seems to take this view that it's extended to everything, and many have followed this, many accepted this to be the case, but there is some dissent. The Tzitz Eliezer quotes the earlier Svarim, the Mati Yehuda, as disagreeing, although he also notes that the later poskim seem to have all accepted it. And very prominently, the Or Sameach very strongly disagrees. The Or Sameach says the whole thing is a mistake, and that you only have borer when you have a genuine taruvus. Things really have to be mixed in with each other. If you have books, you have clothes, it doesn't really create a taruvus. You have big things like that mixed in. So it actually seems, as Sammy pointed out, that it's not necessarily even the case that the Or Sameach is arguing on the Taz. He doesn't even think the Taz meant it. He thinks that the point is maybe it's not purely Oakland. Maybe other small items that are mixed in together can also be similar to Oakland. But anything that's bigger than that doesn't constitute a taruvus, and therefore there's no issur of borer, and the Or Sameach is quite confident that that is the case. It could be there are others who agree with this, The Or Sameach also has a question about this. The Or Sameach asks why. I'm sorry. The Or Sameach has the position of the Aruch HaShulchan in a parallel sense. Just asks why is it that people aren't more makbid about this when it comes to the Gadim and Kalim and the like. And he has two answers, which have very significant ramifications. One answer is what we just said, that he agrees with the Or Sameach, basically, and that's not called a taruvus. The other answer he gives is that maybe it's always la'alter, maybe it's always that the three conditions, which we haven't discussed yet, the three conditions that apply to make Borer and Mutter, maybe they're always in play when you see people selecting out these Begadim and Kalim. So that's a very big difference. According to that second answer, you do have to work out all the halachos of Borer when dealing with these items. But according to the other answer, like the Or Sameach, it may simply be that Borer doesn't apply here. Rav Shterbach has a tshuva where he alludes to these views also, and he's not ready to be makel because so many of the later poskim took it for granted that there is an Eser Borer, but he acknowledges these views in a tshuva also, and he brings in another related view. He quotes the Mahari Kazis, who says for a different reason, he says that you only have a taruvus when the presence of one item somehow diminishes the other, when it's pogim the other, the psolas is there, and it gets in the way through its mixture, causes some problem for the other thing. But if the two items happen to be in the pile together, happen to be next to each other, the svarim in a pile, but the safe, one safer touching the other safer doesn't harm it in any way, doesn't diminish it, so then that's not going to be subject to borer, and it's a different way of saying it, but that also lends to the same maskana that with the Gadim, Kalim, and the like, you don't really have a prohibition of borer meyikar hadin. Donnie, you had a question.
Yeah, the Orab Shokin saying that the altar doesn't apply to Kalim or Begadim because people use it always right away.
Not that they're always using it. He started off with a Messias question. He said, how come we don't see that people are so worried about the prohibition of borer when dealing with their clothes and their utensils? So he has two answers. And it's important to note how different they are, because one answer says because there's no Isser Borer, and the other says because they work it out. Either because it's not a Tyrovis, so that just means forget about thinking about Borer. The second answer is very different. Whichever order he has them in, but the other order is very different. The other answer is very different. He's saying that, no, we know that there are circumstances where Borer is Mutter with food. So those same circumstances might be in play here also. The person is doing it biyad for immediate usage. So in every borer case, that's one of the quirks of borer. That borer, on the one hand, is very, very present. It's something that casts a possible isser on a lot of things that come up on Shabbos. But the flip side of its chumrah is that almost anything you want to do in the area of borer, there's a way to do it ahead of it. So there is a way to do it so that you can accomplish the same goal without the Isser. So since that's the case, so it could be that we see people selecting out their clothes and their utensils, they're doing it in a way that satisfies all the conditions. So those are the two answers of the Aruch HaShulchan, and very different ramifications. Do we have to worry about Borer in these cases, or do we not have to worry about Borer? Hi.
The Marech Aziz is almost a very Yerodea type of definition of the Tarobes. Is that you only have the Tyrovis and you have two things fighting against each other?
If the verse is a bittel, you mean?
Yeah.
Right. So that's a different half of your day, Tyrovis. The good Tyrovis rather than the bad Tyrovis.
Unless the Svara Vayosh,
the Ran, and the Darin, it's a lack of bittel. See, again, you're talking about the good Tyrovis, not about the bad Tyrovis.
I know we're not comparing the two, but right. It sounds similar.
It sounds a little bit evocative. But at any event, so that's a big machlokus whether or not there really is an Isser of Borer by Kalim, by Begadim. So the mice of the facts are that a lot of the contemporary poskim, certainly the motion is for this, and others work off the premise that there is such an Isser, so it's g'day to be machmer for. But it's also worth certainly being Blamez Chus on most of Klal Yisrael, so I'm probably not aware of this, but also the fact that when there are other issues, when there are other tzadim lahakel, so it could definitely be invoked as a sniff, the fact it's not an idea that we find in the Gemara and the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch, at least not explicitly. And Min Chasinuch had a kasha because the Gemara in Daf Yud Beis talks about using a candle to distinguish between your clothes and your wife's clothes. And the only context that the Gemara is interested in is the question of whether it's a violation of the Gezeirah of using the candle on Shabbos. So it doesn't seem like they're concerned about Borer. So Mechassina, the answer is maybe because, again, maybe it's La'alter, the same thing that the Archashulchan said. But the question of Mechassina is that there you don't seem to have Borer raised in the context of the Gadim. So it's, there's a lot to ask about this whole application, and it's definitely something about which there is some significant suffix about. So the Shuvas Priya Asada, for example, says that certainly, for example, if it's Minechad, so then it's here of the fact that it's Kalim and it's Minechad, that anytime you have another issue, you find Poskim especially ready to be Megal. It sounds like from all these discussions and these rayas that Borer at least does apply with non-Gedulei Karka. We saw that that's an issue that is brought up throughout all of these first couple of Malachos, and that Rabbi Akiva Eiger seems to imply in his Tshuva Bat Zora that all of these Malachos should be subject to Gedulei Karka rule. So that's itself a little bit of a debate. There were those who maintained somehow that Borer is limited to Gedulei Karka, but the majority view the way we assume, then the Kalim Begadim issue aside, that we generally don't limit Borer to Gedulei Karka. Certainly within the world of Ohlin, we assume that all Ohlin are subject to Borer. Okay, so now let's get to a little bit the question of the three conditions that the Gemara has, and trying to understand as a unit and separately what are the svaras behind the three conditions. So the Gemara, and again, should definitely chazer on your own. So the Gemara tries to figure out a brisa which seems to allow Borer in some cases, not allow it in other cases, possibly say it's an Issa D'Rabbanan and cases in the middle. And what essentially emerges from the Gemara is that there are three conditions that will make Borer mutter. And we assume the halacha that you need all three, even though not all the Rishonim necessarily thought that was the case. But the three conditions are that it has to be biyad as opposed to b'kli, that it has to be ochel mitoch psoles and not the other way around, and that it has to be la'alter, it has to be for immediate usage. So first of all, what's the nature of all of these heterim, before getting into the specific ones, but what's the nature of, especially if we require all three, so what exactly is going on? So some of the Rishonim seem to say, if you look at Rashi, so Rashi says that if you're doing it with one of these changes, so then it's not derech breira. A couple of Rashi's that seem to say that. That sound like it's an issue that it's not conforming to the normal rules of what borer is. Tosis takes up the issue that the Gemara by Merakid, and we saw in that again in Kuflam Ches. So there, the Gemara has the opposite statement, and it says ma darko shol borer ochel mitoch psoles, which seems to be the opposite of what we just said here, because if all these rules are that they're not derech borer, so one of the rules is that it should be ochel mitoch psoles, and that Gemara later calls that specifically derech breira. So Tosis there makes a distinction. Well, maybe it depends whether it's ochel mitoch, the ochel meruba of psoles, or psoles meruba la ochel, which is the situation in that Gemara. So that would clearly have major implications lahalacha. It's questionable whether or not anyone accepts Tosis's distinction. Mishneh Berurah points out that it doesn't sound like from the Shulchan Aruch that that distinction is accepted. But you have, on the one hand, these Rishonim who maintain, such as Rashi and others, that the core issue is that it's not Derech Breira. But then you have other Rishonim who seem to be saying something else, or something additional. But it's not about being a lack of derech breira, but that it has to do with the fact that you are involved in eating, called derech achila. That's the interest. So the Ramban is apparently in this camp. The Ramban has a roundabout way of saying it. He has a phrasing along the lines of beheter tarchina and beisur lo tarchina, which needs a little bit of explanation. The footnotes in the Ramban explain what he means. As he doesn't mean that, well, you think you're doing something good, not doing something bad. That would be a nice sweeping heter by all of Halacha Shabbos. Well, you're trying to do a mitzvah, not trying to do an aveira. That's not what it's about. It's
not using it in the sense of its technical usage, but saying that Isser, meaning the Isser on Shabbos, is a malacha, and essentially you're not interested in doing a malacha here, you're not interested in being metakin anything, you're interested in eating, this is your normal process of eating, so that's what you're involved in, that's why it is okay. Apparently telling us that this is a derech achila type of heter, that if you're doing things the normal way in which you would consume food, so then it should be permissible. And Rabbeinu Chananel, that we saw again when we were talking about Malachas Machshavas recently, so he applies that term. He says that if you're doing it for the purposes of eating, so it's not considered to be Malachas Machshavas, a fascinating application of that term and of this particular sugya. And apparently understanding that Derech Achila is something, by definition, that's different than a Malacha. So because if you're using it for immediate usage, that's called Derech Achila, so then that's not going to be subject to the prohibition of Borer. The Shulchan Aruch, hi.
That would be true even for the Taz about Kalim and Begadim.
Yes, so that seems to be the case also, although part of why I find the Taz difficult is because you have to redefine Derech Achila, and we'll talk more about that in a second. But yes, that the short answer is yes, and we'll talk more about it in a minute. But this idea of Derech Achila, so that's the way the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who for this purpose will refer to him as the Alter Rebbe, and the Chazon Ish understand that it's basically Heter Derech Achila that is the Heter. Mishnah Berurah in his Psicha really talks about both, but he emphasizes it being not Derech Borurah. So there are those, Jonathan's asked me this before, there are those who wanted to suggest somehow that it's totally on how you define the Isser of Borer. Is the Isser of Borer about doing an act of separating things, or is it about perfecting the food? Because if it's about doing an act of separating, then maybe if something is not Derech Borer, so then maybe it should be okay. But if it's about perfecting the food, so then we don't really care how you did it, it's all about the perfection. It's just that, Derech Achila is a heter, it overcomes the Isser, but it's not something that changes the essence of what you're doing. So this has many ramifications, there are many, many nafkaminas to this question of how do we understand together this, of these heterim, just in terms of the, yes sir?
Can you repeat that again?
Yeah, so you can either accept this or not. This was a suggestion that was made in the Chuvas Palgei Mayim. It's a very contemporary sefer. I think it came out just a few months ago, the Chelek Beis of the Palgei Mayim that we were quoting, that he wanted to suggest that if you want to say that the Isser is to be Borer, the Isser is to select or is to separate foods, so then maybe we're interested that if it's not Derech Borer, maybe that's why it should be Mutter. But if it's about the tikkun ochel, the food being enhanced or being perfected, so then it's not so relevant how you do it, it's more relevant what ends up happening. So maybe in Achanami that's true, that that's really the case, but Derech Achila is a heter that overrides it. Now you're right, that the result of the food is going to be the same either way, but Derech Achila is something that makes something mutter. So we also suggested, when talking about the fact that you could ask two questions on the sugya. One, the idea of requiring all three, which we mentioned is a somewhat controversial point. But also, when something is not kederach. So very often, and this is an issue we find throughout Hilchos Shabbos, and this is going to be a major issue when we talk about Lisha in the coming days, so the question of a shinoi, a kala achar yad, it's a very shifting idea. It's an idea that doesn't maintain a consistent status from one malacha to the next. Because sometimes you'll find that a shinoi will make something mutter, but more often a shinoi will make something nisud drabanan. So we should say here that, okay, so it's not derech breira, but it should still be asami drabanan. So one way you could say is, well, that's why we prefer the Derech Achila answer, because it's not about it not being Derech Breira, but it is about it being Derech Achila. But if you want to focus on it not being Derech Breira, so we wanted to suggest that maybe when you have all three conditions in place, so then maybe you are addressing three different ways in which it's different. Because very often, if you do a malach in a different way, So we should still prohibit it midrabbanan because it still has something in common with the malach. But here, if we have all three of these things in place, so then we are separating it from any connection to borer. It's not done with the tool of borer, it's not done to kli, it's not done in the style of borer, it's not done psholos mitoch ochel, and it's not done for the purpose of borer, which is the gemara invokes. Borer is laotzar, and here you want to eat it immediately. So all of that disconnects it completely from the prohibition of borer. Three different points of entry to borer that are all cut off. It's not done for the purpose, it's not done in the way, and it's not done with the appearance of borer. All of those therefore remove any risk, and therefore we can understand why any one of those perhaps would make it mutter minatora. It depends on which one, as we see from that whole back and forth there. But maybe it should still be asur midrabbanan if it only has one of those in play. And therefore if we take out all three, so that's why it should be mutter v'maisa. We also discussed, Joseph Engel has a slightly different understanding. He says, first of all, he does mention in the Hadmin of the Gemara that says that maybe it should be mutter lebo bayom. It's a little different time frame than la'alter. So he notes that we have an idea specifically in Kachin. And the Gemara talks about something that's mechuzer zman, that if you have an animal that has not yet reached its time of hechsher for a korban, but the Gemara says if it will reach hechsher that day, so that we don't say mechuzer zman, ein mechuzer zman lebo bayom. So anything that's going to happen that day is considered to be somewhat within the same time unit. So really the question of bo bayom versus la'alter is really just a question of how we're slicing it, literally, how we're defining the time period that's relevant. But maybe that's the Habmin in the Gemara, that if it's the same day, so then it's not considered to be for a different time, and Borer is about future usage, and the same day is not considered to be future usage. Yes, sir?
You said you need all three conditions because it takes away like the appearance. What did you say about that?
So we mentioned three different ways in which it's not Borer, because basically, let's say you have a Shinoi. Right? So we mentioned that a Shinoi sometimes makes something mutter, but more often it makes it asa midrabbanan. So why should it be asa midrabbanan if you do something with a shinui? Because maybe a shinui turns off one connection to the malacha, but there are still other very relevant connections to the malacha that should worry us. So Chazal prohibited it because of its relationship to the malacha. But in the case of borer, done under all three conditions here, so you've cut off every possible connection to borer. It's not done in the style of borer. It's not psolos mitoch ochel. It's not done with the appearance of borer and its tools, so it's not done with a kli, and it's not done for the purpose of borer. Borer is for the future, and you want it for now. So all the different elements that were connected to borer are all taken away. Yes, sir.
What we were just saying about who before the Avraham Chachamim was the last.
Are we going to angle about him? Yeah, so the Lebo Bayom,
is that referring to Ovel Mitoch Solar or?
Well, it's just when the Gemara in the very beginning, before it starts dividing it up. So it mentions that maybe it should be Mutter Lebo Bayom, the middle position in the Raisin. So that statement in the Gemara, which the Gemara has two rejected suggestions and three that are ultimately accepted. So the ones that are rejected, just from an analytical point of view, are relevant because of why they were suggested, even though they don't impact on the halach l'maisa. But the idea that borer should have been mutter less than a shir, and the idea that borer should have been mutter for later in the day, they don't make it into halach l'maisa, but they tell us a little bit about what is possibly at play here.
What was the subject of the borer there? Was it two types of
ochel,
or is it
ochel? That first line of the Gemara says, Hayyel Fanash Nimin Ochel, and Bar Ochel, Bar Maniach, Lo Yivor, Vimbir Chayev Chatis. And one of the suggestions in the Gemara, the first suggestion, is that that middle statement is about Lebo Bayom. So I'm just trying to figure out what that price means. Okay, so this idea, this question of whether it's Derech Achila or not Derech Borer, has a lot of ramifications. One of the ramifications has to do with what we talk about, what we mean when we talk about la'alter. So when we talk about doing something right away, so do we mean we're counting seconds? So it's about whether this will happen a long time from now or whether it will be used right now? Or is it really not a function of time? It's a function of how you're doing something. That la'alter means because you're eating, so you're eating right now, so we call that la'alter. But if you're going to do something else with it immediately, but it's not derech achila, or it just happens to be that you're going to use it a second from now, but you're not doing this borer in the context of achila, maybe there would be no heter. So we mentioned that there is a suffix, as Dechamid quotes, that it's unclear whether or not you can have hasra for borer, because if there is a heter of la'alter, so maybe we should say that the hasra is always going to be a hasra suffix, because maybe the person will end up using it a second later. So as we noted then, we're not sure that's necessarily a relevant objection. Now you could say that la'alter is not about how many seconds from now you're going to use it. It's about, are you doing this in the manner of eating right afterwards? And if you're doing a different type of borer, which isn't relevant to immediate eating, then the fact that you may end up a second later deciding to use it is not necessarily so relevant. And that has ramifications for a lot of issues we'll probably get into a little bit more tomorrow. We fill in some of the halacha l'maaseh points. Hi.
I don't understand the question, because even if he was to do it, yeah, couldn't he still be over the problems of it being suspect?
Yeah, and you could also have other situations where it's not going to match anyway, right? So it's not that it's inconceivable to ever have a borer that's subject to hasra. That's another reason to not be bothered by the question. But he's assuming that, let's say, you have the other circumstances in play, and the only issue is la'alter, so then should we say it's a hasra suffix? So we're not so sure that necessarily has to be a problem. Hi.
Does that mean your tavana, when you say it depends on how you perform borer, does that mean your tavana when you perform the borer is the way through you intend to do it right now, or you intend to eat it later?
So kavana is going to be a part of it, but that's even less susceptible to the aging. So what we're really addressing here is that there are certain actions that you do in the context of eating. So they may otherwise be borer, but because you're in the context of eating, so then that's why we have a heter or la'alter. So when we say it's a hasra suffik, it's not necessarily as if we can't tell at all, it's all going to depend on what happens a minute from now. It's really about what type of a borer. Is it a borer done in the context of eating, or is it a borer that's done not in the context of eating? And it could be you'll end up using it a second from now, but it's not in the context of eating. It's not subject to this derech achila question. So to come back to what Donnie raised before, so the tshuvas palgei mayim that we mentioned, and this is not something you necessarily have to accept the halacha. We mentioned it because it's interesting in terms of the lamdas. So he talks about, let's say you want to do borer with the clothes and the silverware, not because you want to use them right now, but because you have guests over and you want the guests to be happy to see how you set the table for them in advance, you set up the room for them in advance. So he wanted to be machadish or chumra, that's not going to be good enough, because la'alter has to be the primary usage rather than some secondary usage. So to say it's mutter for immediate usage doesn't mean that if there's going to be any benefit right now, it's mutter. It means that if the item is going to be used in its primary sense right now, so then that's okay. But if it's going to be used much later, but you just get some side benefit out of setting it up now, that's not a heter of la'alta. Now, you could question that from a couple of angles, but what it's particularly relevant to, it's what Donnie asked a few minutes ago, that you see that once you extend borer to non-food matters, right, such as silverware and clothes, so then, by the very nature of that extension, you have to redefine what derech achila means. That if it's just about food, so then derech achila means you're eating it now, and this is part of the act of eating. But once you say that it could apply to non-food items, so then you have a harder time articulating what derech achila means. And then you come on to this question that he's talking about primary usage and secondary usage. So it's all really a castle on top of a castle, is that once you extend the concept of borer to outside items beyond food, then you have a trickier time and you're confronted with the question of what does derech achila mean. And if you limit it to food, it's easier, but this is part of what we said before, that one of the reasons why there's a certain weight on the tzad that it should be dafka food is because the concept of derech achila, which is invoked so heavily in some of the Rishonim and the later Svarim, really works a lot better if we're talking about ochel in its nature. So that's itself something to figure out.
You said the Ramban, when he said Beheter Tarchinan, isn't that like already a sort of like proof that it's easily adjustable to just not, doesn't have to be food? Cause anything,
I mean, based on your daily life, you know, whatever that means. It could be. You still have to figure out a little bit what that means. You're right, he didn't use the word achila, so then maybe that gives us more license to expand it. But it does seem that achila lends itself to a more self-contained way of understanding it. One of the issues that the Palgemayim himself says when he makes this point is that he says, if you believe that all these heterim are based on derech breira, so then it shouldn't matter secondary usage, primary usage. Still not derech breira. But he says that since the weight of the poskim seems to be on the derech achila heter rather than not being the isser of derech breira, so then that's what forces him to define it primarily instead of secondarily. But that's all first, once you've expanded derech achila to mean other things other than actual achila. We also discuss, we'll probably talk about this more a little bit tomorrow, that derech achila mamish also has different gradations to it. So that it could be that even if you go beyond borer, that when you're talking about actual achila, not just something that's immediately before achila, but that's literally in the process of eating, that that's a more broadly drawn heter that may apply even to a lot of other malachas, as we spoke about at the time. Sam, you had a question? Okay. So one of the major issues, and we'll just mention this, we'll probably have to continue tomorrow, but one of the major issues that comes up when you try to figure out how to define the heter of la'alter is the major issue in Rishonim, which we'll get up to in more detail when we talk about tochen. The question of, is there a heter of tochen la'alter? That was a position that many of the Rishonim maintained. The Ran quotes the Rashba in his Chuvus, that there is such a heter. The Ramah quotes this. Many did assume this to be the case, that la'alter is not just limited to borer, but it's a function of derech achila, which might be extended to other malachas as well. We'll have to get into the question of, could it be a lot of other malachas, or is it just tochein? Is it even tochein? So the Shulte Givarim, the Magen Avraham quotes, in kind of a halfway sense, disagrees with this Rashba and says that it's only about borer. It gets into a whole Mr. Shmuz. Says, what do you think that applies to every malacha? It only applies to borer. Don't go running off and applying it to tochen also. So many do follow the view of the Rashba that applies to tochen as well. And we mentioned Rav Nosson Gestetner has a tshuva where he explains why you would limit it to those two. So again, it's a heter achila type of idea. But even though you could have a case where other malachas may also be invoked in the context of a heter achila, such a, let's say for example, mochek or kosev, if that comes up in the context of letters in a cake, so that was a whole discussion whether we should apply the heter in that context. It's a whole complicated debate in general whether it even is an issur of mochek with letters in the cake. That was a whole side issue. But the question came up, should we say, well, derech achila is mutter, so some would say yes, and others who were not willing to invoke that, so you could say that it depends. There are certain malachos that are inherently a part of eating, such as perhaps borer and tochen. Eating by its very nature is almost always going to include these. And there are other malachos which are not so tied into eating. You could come up with an example, well, they'll be tied into eating, but they're not part of the definition of eating. We also mentioned that Rav Yosef Engel in his Beis HaOtzer has a whole different approach in terms of what the heter of la'alter is. And he suggests that the heter of la'alter is based on the idea that his understanding of borer is that you are having one item that is considered ochal and that is going to be separated from the psolas. And now instead of the tarugas, you'll have ochal and psolas separately. But if you're going to consume one, so then you're not going to have ochal and psolas, you'll just have one type, because you're immediately going to destroy the other type. So if you're going to eat the ochal right now, so then you're not going to have ochal and psolas after the separation, you're just going to have psolas. So that leads to a number of chidushim, which may or may not conform with how we follow Hilchos Borer today, at least three ramifications of such an understanding. One is that it would be more consistent with the view in Rishonim that this applies even psolos mitoch ochal. because still you'll end up with the same thing. You're only going to have one min left. You're only going to have one type left. Doesn't matter which one you took out. Two, as Rabbi Yosef Engel himself also says, that it wouldn't necessarily have to be limited to eating. Anything that would make that other min disappear, let's say, for example, if it was mutter somehow to burn it, so anything that would result in the other min disappearing would also be subject to this hetzer. But also, you see that this is another position that challenges the extension into begadim and kelim, because his understanding of derech achila is, his understanding of the hetzer v'alter is predicated on you're making one of the types disappear. If you're going to have both types still exist in the world, but you're using one of them, so according to his understanding, you don't have a hetzer that's going to be based on la'alter. Okay. We mentioned the chumra of the Arugas HaBosan, which doesn't seem to conform to the halacha, and is also challenging even to some Rishonim, that the hetzer of la'alter then would be limited to what you do for yourself and not what you do for others. Again, that would be a very significant chumra. Doesn't seem to be one that's followed. We'll also just mention that there is a discussion, lahalacha, that some of the later Svarim have, that one of the ways of dealing with Borer is if you have a Tyruvus, instead of selecting out what you want or don't want, you can scatter it on the table and allow the Tyruvus to break up on its own, and then take what you want. So, on the one hand, it's kind of based on a Gemara. That's the Gemara on the bottom of Ayin Dalet and Aleph. The problem is, the reason it's not a slam dunk is because it's not clear what's being accomplished in that Gemara. It's not clear whether that just addresses the Ochel Mitoch Psolos, Psolos Mitoch Ochel question, or whether that removes all concerns of Borer. So, not everyone thought this was such a valid approach. There were some of the contemporary poskim who accepted it and some who don't. If you do accept it, so it's a whole discussion why that should be. What's the hetzer here? So some understand that it's considered to be kalach or yad. This is not the kedera. Again, that raises the question that maybe it should still be asur midrabbanan. Maybe that's not enough to make it mutter. Others, in the Sefer Ayel Meshulash, he has a discussion about this. It's a couple of volumes of the Ayel Meshulash, but each one is all about one malacha, so it's an entire Sefer about borer. So he basically has two possible ways of understanding it. He himself is very iffy about whether he should accept this hetzer or not. I believe Baribiat does accept it, no questions asked, but others were a little bit more wary about it. But also, again, I think Baribiat talks about it in the context of the silverware and the like, so there again you have more room to be makel, because the whole application of borer in that context is itself questionable. So one definitely has very solid footing to rely on the hetzer of scattering, especially if you're not dealing with food, because you have two issues to rely on. But the question of what it's based on, so the Ayel Meshulash suggests that first of all, maybe borer means that you are selecting something, not just breaking up a tyruvus. So if you're simply ending the tyruvus but not taking what you want, maybe that's not borer at all. And then he says a second svara, which is related to the first, says that borer means that you will select what you want, so you're still going to have to do that. That you haven't reached that stage yet. So once you scatter this pile on the table, so now you've made it easier for you to reach what you want, but that's not considered to be the full process yet. You still have to select what you want or get rid of what you don't want, and therefore it's a preliminary stage, but that's not borer itself. We also mentioned in that context that Bir Halach and others point out, in terms of getting what you want, and this is also very subjectively applied, so it's a little frustrating, but that he assumes that anything that's called a siluk, that if there's something in your way, you need to get around it in order to get what you want, so pushing it out of your way in order to get to it, that's not called borer. And again, we saw there were a lot of situations where it's not 100% clear whether it should be called a siluk or a borer, but if you've decided which one it is, so then the Mishnah Berurah, the Bir Halacha, is quite confident that that is mutter, that a siluk is not considered to be an act of borer. Okay, so we have a few more points to talk about, and we also want to go over the Halacha L'maisa ramifications, which are very significant. So, God willing, we'll do that tomorrow, and then Wednesday we'll pick up with Lush, and we'll see how long Lush takes. I will probably end up the rest of the Chazara to be after Yadim. Everyone should have a wonderful day. I look forward to seeing everyone bright early tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.